Hear that? Up there in that tree? Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Yes, Te Whānau, this is me and all my homies love native manu. This wiki, we are talking about the tui. Sorry about that, guys. The call's not playing, so we'll just get straight. We'll just get straight into the corridor. Sorry about that, guys. Pete had recorded a very special one from his garden, but
yes,
never. I don't know what's going on there. Anyway, the tui, Pete.
Yes.
Give us a classification of this bird.
Yes, I won't try and give a rendition of the tui. That could.
No, I think you should.
No.
I think that's a great idea.
No, it wouldn't be pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's endemic, like only found here. They're not threatened, but there's a Chatham Island subspecies which is nationally endangered. But today we'll talk about the tui that's all over the mainland and all the other offshore islands.
Yep.
Ancient species.
Mm.
And it's one of the few plentiful endemic manu in Aotearoa. Estimated population around 2.3 million. So,
wow,
a lot of them. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, and they're in most places around the Motu, common in forests and suburbia, but absent from the Canterbury Plains.
Yes, and I was just saying to Pete, I never saw a tui because I grew up on the Canterbury Plains. Never saw a tui growing up until I moved to Pōneke.
And that's because all the native trees were removed.
Cleared for the bloody farms, weren't they? God, bloody hell.
No feed for the manu, but they are returning to Christchurch now. They're planting up a lot of native trees, and Banks Peninsula is a bit of a centre for restoring tui numbers.
Yeah, of course.
Hamilton had no tui for about 100 years, but over the last 10, 15 years that planted up the river margins and the gully systems.
Wow.
And now they're starting to flock back. So that's pretty awesome.
This is what happens when we prioritise native planting. Yes.
And Wellington is the standout performer.
Yeah.
Had a sort of eightfold increase.
My city.
And predator-free Wellington. You know, they've just done such awesome work. And all the native manu are just thriving there.
Yes.
And Tamaki Makaurau's doing pretty well as well.
Yes.
Because of steady increase in native birds, because we've got lots of predator control in the Waitakere's, the Hanuas, on the islands, and a lot of sort of urban restoration groups are doing awesome work.
Groups so, like Urban Arc and... it's amazing
so that's cool. But I want you to flag in your calendar... If you live in Tamaki Makaurau or visiting in August, go to Fairview Road, Mount Eden.
Okay, what's happening?
Well, it's all happening.
It's all going down.
The street trees are all Taiwanese cherry blossoms, and they are in full flower in August. The tui it's like Mecca for them.
Yep.
On one visit, I counted over 160 tui. On that street.
That's incredible.
It's a wonder.
That's more people than there are in my hometown.
Exactly.
In one street. That's amazing, Pete. What a beautiful experience that must have been.
Yeah.
But yes, a very important relationship as all our manu are to tarangata whenua. They have a deep connection to this manu.
Yeah.
There's many names for the tui. It has the kind of ancient name was kōkō.
Yeah.
But can also be called kōpū rehe. Teoteo, which is a female name, Tute, which is a male name, Tātaki, also a male name, and many more. So there's kind of different names for the tui throughout the motu and dependent on their sex as well. And the word tui without its macrons, what does that mean, Pete?
It means to sew or lace.
Yes.
And that seems a very good fit with particularly the intricate white feathers around the tui's neck.
Yes, of course. And used often in karakia, at the end when you say tuia, tuia ki runga, tuia ki raro, so to bind everything together. There is a legend about Tāne ascending to the heavens to seek knowledge before he returned, the god Rehua, who is the husband of Matariki, who's part of the Matariki cluster. Rehua gifted Tane creatures to populate Papatuanuku, including the Tui.
Yeah.
And some other stuff, which I've forgotten.
I adorn the Tui with a fetu, a star, and that's that sort of white lace work around the neck.
That's cool. And I just learned also that that white bit is called a poi as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Which,
yeah,
that's bloody beautiful.
Hmm. That's a cool story.
But is seen as a messenger to the gods as well, eh, Pete?
Yeah, yeah. And it's sort of they believe to be able to communicate directly with the gods, and it's kind of via their complex song, and they seem to bridge that gap between the physical world and Te Ao Wairua, the spirit realm.
Amazing. And we'll just get into some whakatauki.
Yeah.
We've got three to share with you all. First one, Mihi Koro Koro Tui. What does that speak to, Pete?
Like the throat of a tui. And that refers to someone who's a gifted orator or singer. It's a small whakatauki, but it's beautiful.
I really like that.
Really appropriate, you know.
I think you're a great orator. I think you have a great voice. Mihi Koro Koro Tui.
Oh, thank you. You just saying that because it was my birthday.
Yeah, it was Pete's birthday, so yeah. Guys, so please get in on the text. Wish the Birdman a happy birthday. The next whakatauki, He Koko Tataki. He Koko Tataki. What does that speak to, Pete?
A witty tui.
Yes.
And it's an expression for someone who gives a witty speech and maybe bordering on something that's a bit rude. I don't know.
Couldn't be you, eh?
No, couldn't be you. Neither yourself.
And our last whakatauki, he koko whakamoe ka mate te tangata. Ooh.
Yeah, I love this one.
Yeah, I like that too. Yep.
It's when, like a benumbed tui, men die. And it serves as a sort of warning to the sentry standing on watch.
Yep.
And it relates to when the tui is numb from the cold, it can be caught by hand. And the saying is applied to a person who's lethargic and sleepy-headed, they're going to get caught off guard. That's me most of the time.
Stay ready. Stay ready, guys. That's what we're trying to say this morning. Amazing. I really like that one. I really like that one. And it's I didn't know that tui were previously, well, are called kōkō as well. So that's cool to see a whakatauki, including the traditional name for tui. Yes, Pete, how would you describe this manu? I'm just laughing because I know what's coming.
Yeah, the best-dressed manu in all the land. it's true. So from a distance, you might see mostly black manu, but you get closer, and particularly if it's in direct sunlight, the manu sort of shimmer with iridescent blue, green and bronze. Mm. They've got that unmistakable white tuft feathers or poi on the throat, and they've got that gorgeous lace work of white sort of filamented feathers that adorn the neck.
Yep.
They've got an elegant curved bill, which is black, along with their black feet. Dark brown eyes, and they wear this beautiful brown korowai cloak over their shoulders.
That's really chic, gorgeous.
And so that manu, it absolutely is a jewel gifted by the god Rehua. You can see that.
Exactly. And we just had a couple of texts in. Someone saying they sing at dawn and dusk, being the gateway to the spirit world. I really love that.
That's nice.
And another text from Brett. Hi, love this segment. How can you tell the difference in the sex of the tui?
There's not much difference, but I think the female's got a slightly shorter beak.
Yeah, so pretty hard to tell.
Yeah.
Unless you've got out your ruler. And
yeah, unless you really know what you're looking at. Or you see them together and you can compare.
Harder, yeah. But yes, some crazy adaptations to do with their voice box, which I've been really keen to learn about for such a long time. So, yeah, can you just talk to this, Pete?
Yeah, in common language, it's a dual voice box, and that's, you know, makes sense. They've got this highly complex song. They can sort of make multiple sounds at the same time. They're beautiful corridor, but lots of clicks and little groans and grunts and stuff, all sorts of odd noises.
Yeah, yeah.
But they can sound like car alarms or phone ringtones, or they mimic other birds.
Yep.
Or they can even be trained to talk our language.
Wow. Clever, clever Manu.
But they also sing at frequencies we can't hear. So if you're watching them, suddenly they're in full song and then they stop singing, but you look, their mouth is still open, their throats are still pulsing, but they're just jiving at a different frequency.
That's cool.
That is cool.
I really like that.
It's a kind of reminder that we don't know everything. Harder.
I like to think that the animals are keeping secrets from us.
I think they need to.
Yep. Yeah. And they've also got a brush-tipped tongue, which is kind of freaky to look at.
It's freaky.
So if you're not familiar, I would suggest you go and look at a video of the brush-tipped tongue of the tui.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a snake tongue, you know, it flicks out with the forked tongue, but they've got these like four filamented feather things that just kind of explode out.
It really freaked me out when you showed me that video.
it is quite freaky, but really, really efficient at slurping up nectar and fluids.
Exactly.
Amazing evolutionary adaptation.
Work smart, not hard.
Yeah.
And they make loud whirring noises in flight. What is this for?
This is a unique adaptation for the tui. Their eighth primary flight feather, those are the big feathers out the end of the wing. And it's about the third one in.
Yeah.
And they, as they mature, they develop a little notch two-thirds of the way down the feather. And so when they fly, the air vibrates through that notch.
Yeah.
And the feather, it makes that whirring, whooshing noise. and it's really loud.
Is there any reason for the noise or just for it?
I think the reason.
Fun.
They like to make noise.
Awesome.
Like the louder the noise, the more impressive they are. Yeah. And they just, everything about them's loud. And it's in your face and it says, I'm here.
Yeah.
You will notice me whether you like it or not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they are very cool.
They are very cool. And they can be quite aggressive as well.
They're hugely aggressive, very territorial. They have stoushes with other birds, but they're often, you know, having aerial chases. And when they chase each other, it's like a Star Wars battle scene, weaving in and out of trees, swooping low to the ground. Then they throw these massive aerial turns and barrel rolls. And in my backyard, I get a lot of them, and a pair of them have almost taken off my head many times.
That is so funny that you just mentioned Star Wars, because someone just texted saying they're blessed to live with many tui in their park near their house. They've called one of the tui R2D2E. That's awesome.
That's very appropriate.
Yes. So yeah, they're having a rumbuck. So we.
Oh yeah, they love it. Yep. They love it.
And so we've mentioned that they like to eat nectar, Pete.
Yes.
What nectar are they eating? They're also eating some other things as well. Eh?
Yeah. In terms of native plants, they love the flax flowers.
Yep.
The kowhai flowers are absolute favourite.
Mm.
They really get into the Pūtikawa flowers around Christmas time and the rata and a bunch of other native flowers. And I've got a big pururi tree in our backyard, and they're always feeding on the pururi flowers.
Yeah.
And they also like eating fruit and berries. Like,
out of all the birds we've talked about, I think this is the bird diet that I would like to be on.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Like, I'm not interested in eating insects. Sorry, guys. That's not for me. I'm interested in eating little sweet nectars and some flowers and fruit and berries.
And we've planted these holpara trees, the shooter panics. And in March, April, they have these masses of ripe green berries.
Mm.
And the tuis just love them.
Yeah.
And that recording that you didn't hear but was meant to hear was of the tuy very close to my back deck, and they just feast on those, which is really good. And I planted those because it's almost winter. They're going into lean times.
Yeah.
So, they also eat a lot of nectar from exotic flowering plants and trees.
Mm.
And that's one reason why they're thriving, because there's a lot more food. And you can help feed them in those lean winter months, put out some sugar water or cut oranges, like in my bird feeder.
Yeah. Still waiting for my bird feeder.
Yeah, it's a work in progress. I'm an old guy, you know, I work slowly.
Yeah, of course, whatever. but yes, as for breeding, they nest in dense vegetation in forks.
Forks are branches.
Oh, okay. I was about to ask, what the frick is a fork?
Yeah.
And how many eggs do they lay, Pete?
2 to 4 eggs.
Yep.
The pinkish with sort of dull red splotches or blotches. Blotches. And the female only incubation, 14 days. And I think that's because the wahine knows the males are irresponsible,
useless
loose cannons. Can't be trusted.
Yeah.
Fledge after...
Don't trust no man, girls.
Exactly. Fledge after 11 to 20 days. And both parents feed the chicks. So some redemption for the father.
Yeah, but he's coming a bit late to the party, so...
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as for threats...
Yeah,
there's such a large population, but I'm sure there's still many threats to this Manu.
You know, the mammalian predators, the stoats and rats and possums, they still predate on chicks and eggs. But they're doing really well out there, and there's lots of predator control programs around the place.
Mm.
Urban areas have lots of new food sources, and a lot of people put out, you know, sugar water and fruit and that for them in the winter. So they're doing really, really well.
And I would encourage people to keep putting out sugar water for the Manu.
Yeah.
And also planting native plants in your garden as well.
And it's just do a research on it. There's lots of native trees. Like, you know, the flax is awesome. Having a kofi tree in your backyard with
bloody
the
love
beautiful
the
yellow flowers. And the hopara is awesome.
Yeah.
So there's lots of food for them.
Lots of food.
Yeah.
Someone just texted saying, our tui like ripe bananas, pears and apples.
Yeah.
What was all fruit salad medley?
Exactly.
That's amazing. And you've got a song to play for us, Pete. What's the song of the day?
It has to be a song by Prince Tui Teka. No doubt named after that Manu. And the song is... Mo Mai E Hine.
Moi Mai.
Oh, Moi Mai E Hine. It's a beautiful song. It's a sad song.
Yeah.
About a girl in the long sleep under a rata tree.
Aye. Thanks, Pete. Mm. Amazing stuff.
Yeah, kia ora.
Kia ora.
Go ta kuaroha, to see. You are always on my mind. Wherever you may go, you take a part of me. My love for you is endless. Keep me always in your heart. For you are a special part of me, my never-ending love.
Isn't that beautiful?
That was Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu, only on 95 BFM.